Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Good morning.
Good morning, and I don't think it's beyond the realm of science, but rather, if you're looking at climate change, the amount of money poured into disinformation campaigns by the big fossil fuel companies over the last 30 years has reached up to $1 billion a year, and you can get a lot of influence for $1 billion a year.
So that makes sense. So maybe they're not as stupid. They just like the funding more than they like truth. Perhaps that is what it is. But let's talk about the risks of blood clotting and all of the information. And again, a lot of misinformation and a lot of fear around the around vaccine rollouts and about the side effects.
Well, in Australia, the figures are that it's roughly 40 times safer to get the vaccine than it is to travel in a car for a year. So the figures for Australia are that in the year 2020, out of a population of 25 million, 1,100 died over that year, which meant that that 40 out of every million people in Australia died in some sort of road incident. But we've had 2 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine rolled out. We had 20 cases of clots, of whom two died. And that means that the death rate from the vaccine is 1 in a million. So it's 40 times less risky than spending a year driving around in a car. Getting the vaccine is safer, and it also protects you from the actual virus, which has got roughly a 2% death rate apparently around the world.
Yeah, it's just incredible how, again, you talk about this misinformation. I asked a professor yesterday, we were talking about vaccines, and I keep hearing from young women, no, they're not going to get the vaccine because they still want to have children. And you think, where on earth does this type of misinformation come from?
Ah, that's easy to answer. It turns out, according to a survey in Science magazine, that about two-thirds of all of the disinformation about vaccines, especially about the coronavirus vaccine, comes from just one dozen people in the United States of America who keep on getting rebroadcast, retweeted, re-Facebook, re-Instagrammed. And so the lies keep on spreading. So it's just one dozen people individually who have caused all of this.
Shouldn't we just turn off America's internet? Is that not a simple solution to this whole thing?
Without the internet, the world economy would fall over. Where, on the other hand, it is good to get the truth, but on the other hand, maybe we've got a deeper problem that we need to look at if we have such an easily balanced thrown away point of view. So I do think that we need to have more critical thinking.
Yeah, it's very interesting that, because it obviously just, we respond to things that talk to our fears. I guess that's probably more what it is than anything else.
And that makes sense, because we are programmed to respond to something that could kill us, because if we don't, we could die. So novel things attract our attention far more than boring old things like, there's a bottle of milk, I will buy it.
That's fascinating. So we're drawn to that. Let's just talk as well a little bit about sleep. Some of us battle, especially if you have a 6 o'clock morning show, so the sleep isn't necessarily something that is easy, but it has a significant impact on us in so many ways.
Well, for one thing, suppose you've got some male humans, and suppose they go for 4 hours a night of sleep instead of eight, and they do this for four nights. Well, their testosterone level has dropped to a level of somebody 10 years older.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And so they get age in terms of hormonal virility by over a decade. And we see similar breakdowns in female reproductive health and hormonal profiles due to a lack of sleep. Also, if you are getting less than 7 hours of sleep a night, you're three times more likely to be infected by the common cold. And if in the week before you get your annual flu shot, you do not get enough sleep in that week, your response to the flu vaccine is less than 50% of what it normally is.
That is unbelievable. That is absolutely incredible. 7 hours of sleep a night. That's what we need.
That's what we need. It varies between about 7 and 9. I'm a sort of a 7 hour a week person. And it turns out that if you do not get enough sleep, we are now getting quite convinced that disorders such as insomnia and sleep apnea lead to a major risk of getting Alzheimer's disease. It turns out that in the human brain, in somebody who has Alzheimer's disease, there are two proteins, bad proteins, called beta amyloid, another one called tau, T-A-U.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get lack of sleep, you get a build-up of this stuff in your brain. And you get this immediate increase just in one night. You go one night without sleep, and in the blood, you can see extra beta amyloid in their blood, in their cerebrospinal fluid, and directly in the brain. And then to make it even worse, the beta amyloid unfortunately attacks the very regions that generate deep sleep. So that means if you go without sleep, you'll end up going without more sleep, and then you can, this exaggerates your brain's inability to remove the beta amyloid, taking you earlier into Alzheimer's disease. So both Margaret Thatcher
mm-hmm.
and Ronald Reagan were very insistent about how useless sleep was. It was wasted time, and so they only slept 4 to 5 hours a night. Both of them came down with Alzheimer's disease.
I think I need to worry about this. I keep saying
Trump is the person saying he doesn't need to sleep much either.
Exactly, and I keep thinking that I'll sleep and I'm dead. But it turns out that's probably not a good policy, right? Because you'll be chances are you'll be dead sooner.
Sleep is necessary so you can enjoy your life.
Mm, exactly. Does caffeine really keep you awake?
It can. Now, the problem there is that caffeine has a half-life of about 4 to 5 hours. So in about 4 to 5 hours, it's down to about half its previous level. Another 4 to 5 hours after that, it's down to a quarter. So if you have a coffee
mm-hmm.
at 2 o'clock, 10 hours later, you've still got the equivalent of one quarter of a cup of coffee floating in your bloodstream.
Uh-huh.
So if you have an afternoon cup of coffee, that's equivalent to having a quarter cup of coffee just before you go to sleep at midnight.
So it really does impact. And in terms of weight gain yeah. and weight loss and sleep?
Yes. Unfortunately, you tend to eat more. So inadequate sleep, firstly, suppresses the hormone that says, I've had enough to eat, and simultaneously increases the concentrations of the hormones that say you're hungry. And for some unknown reason, it gets you out of a nice fruit salad into saturated fats. So having lack of sleep shoves you into a pathway where you head into overweightedness. There was a study in the British Medical Journal that looked at three-year-olds. Now, your average three-year-old sleeps 12 hours a night. Three-year-old sleeps 12 hours a night. But kids who are sleeping 10 and a half hours, they had a 50% risk of being obese by the age of 7, not just overweight, but actually obese if they didn't get enough
Unbelievable.
Sleep. And the other problem is that if you're attempting to just lose weight by not eating, and if you don't get enough sleep, because of that lack of sleep, about 60% of the weight that you lose does not come from fat. It comes from lean muscle. So you end up losing muscle and not losing fat. The exact opposite of
Oh, Dr. Collins, so suddenly annoyed. Yeah, there we go. Now I can hear you.
Incredibly important.
Yeah, I'm almost ready to go home and get into bed right now. You've convinced me. But before I let you go, why do we dream?
There's a bunch of reasons. We don't have a really good answer, but the current theory is that we dream, when we dream, we are not having adrenaline in our body. Now just think about that. We do not have adrenaline floating around our body when you're in the REM, or the rapid eye movement phase mm-hmm. of sleep. And this means that you can then process what's been happening without anxiety. The best bridge between despair and hope is a good night's sleep. There are so many cases of rapid eye movement sleep, the dreaming sleep, giving you creativity. The periodic table, the Beatles with Yesterday and Let It Be, Rolling Stones with Satisfaction. So many musicians have created good things while they've been dreaming. And then dreaming can help you remember things better. I help people to do a maze, and they help them at certain stages with, you know, like the piano or a lampshade so they could recognize where they were. And then after the learning session, they then said, okay, half of you go off and watch television, and they end up not remembering how to solve the maze at all. But then they said, the other half of you go off and have a nap. Well, if you just had a nap and it was a regular nap and you were just fine, you remembered significantly better. But if you dreamed about the maze, they'd wake him up and say, what are you dreaming about? They said, I'm dreaming about the maze. They did the maze 10 times better than those who got asleep but didn't dream about the maze. So when you're dreaming, your brain is interconnecting all this information in a non-threatening way without adrenaline in the system. It takes off the sharp edges of difficult and painful experiences. It acts like a nocturnal soothing balm or medicine.
Absolutely incredible. That is where we have to leave it. It is 7:25. Dr. Carl is an Australian science communicator and a popularizer. We speak to him every week.